In the harsh winter of 1789, the Kennebec River in Maine holds a grim secret. The body of Joshua Burgess, a respected captain turned corpse, trapped in ice as if nature itself had passed judgment. His death sets in motion a remarkable story centered on Martha Ballard, a midwife whose steady hands have delivered over 1,000 babies without losing a single mother. Martha's world is where women's voices are routinely silenced, yet through her diary, a meticulous record spanning decades, she performs an act of quiet rebellion, documenting the births, deaths, and daily struggles that history would otherwise forget. What makes Martha extraordinary isn't just her medical skill, but her unwavering determination to speak truth in a society designed to ignore it. When justice fails the women of Hallowell, Martha stands as both healer and witness, navigating a precarious balance between her oath to preserve life and her fierce commitment to protecting the vulnerable. Martha's medical bag contains remedies for ailments from fever to melancholy, knowledge passed through generations of women healers. "I've delivered over 1,000 babies without losing a single mother," she states with quiet pride, despite Harvard-educated doctors dismissing her record. When Dr. Benjamin Page administers dangerous laudanum to a laboring woman, Martha must later rescue both mother and child. Martha's approach centers on respect for patients. This is the first rule of the birthing room: you must know her name. While male physicians rely on theoretical knowledge and dangerous interventions, Martha treats each patient as an individual with dignity. Her diary entries, written between births and household duties, preserve women's experiences that would otherwise vanish from history. In a world where women's knowledge is dismissed as primitive, Martha's expertise becomes resistance. Her contradiction of Dr. Page's accidental drowning explanation for Burgess's death challenges the power structure that seeks to silence her. The discovery of Joshua Burgess's frozen body reopens wounds in the community, particularly for Rebecca Foster, who months earlier had been brutally attacked and raped by Burgess and Colonel Joseph North, a prominent judge and landowner. When Rebecca finally makes her accusation public, she faces skepticism while her attackers walk free. "Men make the laws, men enforce the laws, and men judge other men," Martha observes bitterly. Rebecca's situation worsens when her pregnancy from the assault becomes evidence of her supposed immorality rather than proof of the crime. The social hierarchy of Hallowell revolves around land ownership, with Colonel North manipulating his position to control others. When North files a fraudulent eviction notice against the Ballards, payment to Burgess for his silence about Rebecca's rape, their 12 years of work is threatened. "This is our home," Ephraim says fiercely. "We've met every condition of that deed." Their situation highlights how property rights could be manipulated by the influential, while married women couldn't own property independently under coverture laws. At the heart of Martha's world is her marriage to Ephraim Ballard, a partnership of equals, unusual for its time. 35 years together, they still desire each other's touch and share intellectual connection, quoting Shakespeare and facing challenges together. Their relationship began with remarkable respect. After Martha's assault, Ephraim married her to protect her reputation, but refused to consummate the marriage until she was ready. "I will not take your body tonight, not until you beg me to." This respect extends beyond their marriage. When Rebecca Foster rejects her newborn, telling Martha to throw it in the river, Martha instead brings the infant to Sarah White, who immediately nurses the child despite being an unwed mother herself. Martha's healing work creates connections across social boundaries, attending women of all classes and transcending conventional hierarchies. By teaching Sarah to read and write, Martha extends power to another marginalized woman. Perhaps most powerful is Martha's bond with truth itself. When she discovers Sam Darwin killed Burgess after finding him raping May, Martha keeps his secret, understanding some wounds require unconventional healing. Martha exists at the intersection of multiple worlds, traditional and modern, feminine and masculine, domestic and professional. As a midwife, she bridges folk medicine and scientific approaches, combining herbal remedies with careful observation. Though officially subordinate to male physicians, her expertise makes her indispensable. The natural world serves as both backdrop and metaphor for Martha's liminal existence. The frozen Kennebec River represents the dangerous boundary she crosses, later becoming dark and churning southward when spring arrives, mirroring the turbulent changes after a winter of secrets. Martha's literacy distinguishes her from many women of her time. Her journal represents a radical act of self-documentation. These ink markings may be the only proof of my existence someday. Writing becomes an assertion of existence in a world that often denies both to women. Tempest, the silver fox appearing at crucial moments, symbolizes Martha's liminal existence. According to Ephraim, the Wabanaki believe foxes guide between worlds during uncertain times. Tempest's final appearance beneath the oak tree where Martha placed stones for her lost daughters suggests completion of cycles, death and birth, loss and renewal. Martha Ballard's diary stands as a vital historical document of early American life, preserving medical knowledge and community fabric. "I record these things," she writes, "because someone must bear witness." Her written record proves decisive during Rebecca Foster's rape trial. When North's attorney argues that a respected colonel and judge shouldn't be condemned without eyewitnesses, Martha's contemporaneous notes provide crucial corroboration, challenging the dismissal of women's testimonies. In a society deeming women's lives unworthy of documentation, Martha's persistent recording becomes revolutionary. Even when North tears pages from her journal, she begins anew, refusing silence. Her legacy continues through notable descendants, including great-niece Clara Barton and great-great-granddaughter Mary Hobart, one of America's first female physicians, and through her written words, reminding us that small acts done in love matter as much as those that make headlines. Martha Ballard's greatest strength is her unwavering commitment to bearing witness. When others look away from uncomfortable truths, Martha confronts them directly. She demonstrates this courage when confronting three women who humiliated Sarah White, reminding these hypocrites of their own histories. Peggy delivered her first child 4 months after marriage, Rachel 6 months after, and Clarissa required a paternity suit before her husband would marry her. Martha also insists on naming the unnamed. When she and Ephraim bury a stillborn baby whose unwed mother refuses to name him, Ephraim declares, "He should not go into the ground without a name." Naming him Nathan acknowledges the humanity of a child society would prefer to forget. The novel suggests healing begins with honest acknowledgement of wounds. Martha's experience of losing three daughters to diphtheria informs her compassion for others facing loss. When Martha defends herself against North's assault, leaving him permanently maimed, she ensures Joseph North will never rape another woman. Though she saves his life afterward, her action represents a radical assertion of bodily autonomy she defends for all women.